Out into the deep. And so if you need a Bible, please raise your hands. Now, Rich has been in a series on the DNA of new life, the genetic code of our mission and our five M's. And so today I want to approach the mission of who we are as a church and our DNA from a different angle. So he's talked about what it means that we're you know, our mission statement is to lead people to a deep personal relationship with Jesus, whether you're don't know Christ at all, or you know Christ, but we want you to have a deep, personal relationship with Christ. But what makes us distinct as a community is there's these five qualities that are our DNA. We're monastic, we're multiracial, we are emotionally healthy, we are married to Christ, all of us, and that we are missional towards the world. And he's been expounding on them one by one, and next week he'll finish it. But today, I want to take the story of Luke 5 and unpack it as, what does it mean for us to be, what does it mean to be a Christian? What's it mean for us as a church to follow Jesus? And what this does, this text, gives us a picture of it. You actually, like, you see it. So we're going to read it together. And I'm going to read all 11 verses. So what I want to invite you to do as I read it, I want to ask you to enter into the text. Like, in other words, you got to kind of like put yourself there next to the Sea of Galilee. It's called Sea of Gennesaret. But you got to be there, like, on the beach. You got to, like, smell the waves, smell the ocean breeze. You've got to feel the sand. You got to, you know, the fishies and the boat and the whole thing. You got to, like, be there, okay, as these guys are fishing with their nets and all. And try to imagine yourself as one of the characters as Jesus begins to interact with them, all right? Okay. So let's begin reading, beginning at verse 1 of Luke chapter 5. Okay, thus says the Lord. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed him. All right. Amen. Now, this passage, this sermon is called Launching Out into the Deep, because to be a Christian is about change. It's about leaving a shore which is comfortable, and it's a great image. We follow Jesus and launch out into the deep. Now, a Harvard researcher and professor named John Cotter has really spent his life studying organizational change, whether it's from whether you're a CEO of a company, whether you're in a family system, whether you're a student, anyone working in any kind of group organization, he has spent his life work like, how do people change and how do groups change? And so, you know, he's written some books and all that, but he wrote a little book called Our Iceberg is Melting, and it's a fable. And it's a great little book, because it kind of illustrates this issue of change. So the story's about, the fable's about a colony of penguins that live on an iceberg in Antarctica. There's 286 of them, exactly. And they've been on this iceberg for many, many years. They're happy on the iceberg. Lots of food, lots of play. Everything's awesome and great. But then one day, one of the penguins, his name is Fred, goes up on one of the hills of the iceberg, you know, and And he begins to notice, like, there's some cracks over here on this iceberg on the ends. And it's like, wow, like, I wonder if something's wrong. So he dives into the water, you know, and goes underneath the iceberg. And he begins to see that there's cracks underneath. And there's actually some caves, and there's some melting that's going on, erosion. And he realizes that, oh, my gosh, this iceberg is melting. And that he could see, like, from the seasons, every time the winter came, that cold water would become frozen, and it would expand and cause other parts of the iceberg to fall off. So he realized, my gosh, we may not make it through the next winter. And this iceberg could break apart, and we could lose some old elderly penguins and baby penguins and all that. So Fred starts talking to people about, like, hey, we got a problem here. The iceberg is melting, but of course nobody wants to hear it. Everybody's happy. So he goes to the Leadership Council of Penguins and talks to them. But the whole book's about this unfolding of trying to get people to change. And, you know, I love this. You know, his first conversation. This is a penguin named No-No, you know, and who loves the status quo like everybody else, you know. And he's yelling, the iceberg is, No-No's yelling, the iceberg is not melting, you know. And so anyway, great book. So I thought that, I used to think that I was unique and that I don't like change. But I found out that nobody likes change, that pretty much all of us resist it in some manner, shape, or form. Like, for example, I have an aunt who's no longer alive. Her name was Yolanda. And she was very strong-willed, and she had an idea about doctors. I know we've got a few doctors floating around here. She thought every doctor was a crook. And they didn't know what they were talking about. All they wanted was your money. So she refused to go to a doctor. Just her whole life, refused to go to a doctor. Then she got a little sick, you know, and just, you know, her expertise on doctors was she owned an Italian delicatessen in Long Island, just to give it, that's her expertise level. So she got, you know, something, and make a long story short, she died, like, really young. And I remember being at the funeral, and she was very vivacious, and everyone, like, saying, like, the whole family, like, this was so stupid, because she didn't need to be dead. But she was not, no one could talk her into going to a doctor. Her mind was made up. And, you know, I follow the Postal Service. The U.S. Postal Service, I don't know if you're aware, but it loses money every year. This last year, we lost $5 billion. Okay, some of you work for the Post Office. You came and talked to me after services. Okay, they say this year, we're scheduled to lose $14 billion. Now, I follow because I'm saying, why don't they just make some adjustments? You know, there is something called email and that's going on right now. The world's changed a little bit. Like, I don't need to send a three days to get a letter to California. But for some reason, the politicians, it's very complicated, they will not make changes. So it's just like this thing is going to hell in a handbasket, but nobody's moving. But nobody likes change. I was at a meeting in California at Fuller Theological Seminary. I was actually there visiting for 2 days. And there was a faculty meeting because they're going to make a drastic change in the whole curriculum of training pastors and leaders. And I snuck in the meeting. I was curious what was going to happen at the meeting because the president was going to tell them about this big change coming in the whole curriculum. And they get up, and the guy starts the meeting, him and another woman, about how the world has changed and that if they don't make some changes, there will not even be an institution left in 10 years. And he talked about everything from declining enrollment to expensiveness to technology to the needs of the church have changed. You know, the pastor as a meal leader today is very different than it was 100 years ago, blah, blah, blah. So I'm at a table. I'm just kind of observing. I'm at a table with about, you know, 7 or 8 professors, all have PhDs, very smart people. And so he presents this whole proposal, and it's really, I think, from where I sit, fantastic. But what do I know, you know? And so at the table is this one professor, and she is a world scholar on ancient languages. So she teaches things like, not just Hebrew and Greek, she teaches Akkadian, Ugaritic, Aramaic, okay? And so she starts saying, this is ridiculous! You know, we've been doing this for 150 years! The pastors need Akkadian, they need these languages. I'm thinking to myself, I don't think Rich needs it. I don't think. But I'm thinking, but I realize nothing that's said is going to change this person's mind. She is set, no, bad idea. So anyway, this passage is basically saying in Luke 5, to be a Christian means that you're willing to change. In fact, being a Christian is an invitation to launch out into the deep. In fact, and there's 3 things that happen. Here's the news, guys. Being a Christian is always happening to you that God's inviting you to launch into the deep. He's always inviting you out. Secondly, it's always frightening. And thirdly, it's always wonderful in the long run. Okay? So that's really kind of the framework of this whole text that where I'm going to take you today. Jesus is inviting you to launch out into the deep. It's always happening to you. Every one of you in this room right now, in some manner, shape, or form, it's always scary, but it's always wonderful in the long run. So the text here is really found in verse 4, the key verse. Jesus finished speaking. He says to Simon, Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Put down into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, I'm like you. I prefer shallow water to deep water. Now, I'm an okay swimmer, but I don't like to be like where my feet can't touch the ground. I took a cruise only once. I made sure the cruise ship was going along the shore. We went to Halifax for 4 days. I'm like, I want to make sure I could, in case something happened, I could at least maybe make it over to the shore. And most of us, we like shallow water, which is to your left there, right? It's shallow. I'm in control. I got it covered here. But the deep water, I don't know about you, but I don't like going out there. Because I don't know what's out there. I don't know where it's going. I don't have control of this thing. And I can't see where I'm going. So it's the unknown. So he says, put out into deep water, he says to Simon Peter, and let down your nets for a catch. Now here's the problem. You see, Simon says, Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. Basically, he said, listen, guy. He calls Jesus Master. Okay, I want you to notice it. It's kind of like, it's respectful. Master. And, Peter's a professional. He's been fishing his whole life, say 25, 30 years. His father was probably a fisherman. His friends are fishermen. He knows the Sea of Galilee inside out. Jesus is not even a fisherman. He's a carpenter. And he's just been out all night, fishing. And fishermen know that in the deep water, you catch the fish at night. You don't go into deep water in the daytime. There's no fish there. So he's been out all night. They come back. It was a failure of a night. They're washing the nets. And Jesus said, now put out in the deep in the daytime. Peter already knows there's no fish there in the daytime. And I can imagine, it's a waste of time, a waste of money. And I can imagine him trying to explain to his wife that he's going back out to work, or his friends that he's going back out in the daytime. Okay, it just seems ridiculous. And again, he's got a lifetime of experience, say, to put out in deep water right now is a waste of time. But Peter does it. And so, we've been out all night. He's exhausted, he's tired, and he's caught nothing. So he's kind of like rebuking Jesus a little bit. Okay, but at your request, all right, we'll go. So at least he's willing. He's reluctant. He's got a bit of an attitude, apparently, but he says yes to this action and word of Jesus, and he goes out. Now, I want you to catch what happens here. He goes out, he throws a net down. Now, listen, I'm not a fisherman. In fact, I've only gone fishing like once or twice, and it didn't go well. In fact, I caught a couple little fish, and I got all bent out of shape. They were very slimy, and I didn't want to even get my finger in the mouth. I just threw the thing back in, I had a friend take care of it. So I'm really not the best person to be doing this illustration, but you got to try to imagine. They go out and they put the nets down, and not only is there nothing there, they catch so many fish. Now, a boat was about 20, 30 feet long, so it's about the size of this platform here, the size of the boat. They put the net in. I just try to imagine. There's so many fish in this net. It says here, the nets begin to break. Now, I don't know. I'm like, what did these fish eat? I don't know. I mean, there's so many fish in this net. Nets are breaking. They bring the fish into the boat. Now imagine, they bring in a boat. The boat begins to sink. Then they get their partner's boat, James and John, and they bring the nets into their boat as well. Their boat begins to sink. Everybody's sinking. Now just try to imagine the scene here. Peter sees this, and then he realizes, oh my God. And he understands, at least he's in the presence of something of divine, something of God. And he falls at Jesus' feet and he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I mean, he just sees his lack of trust, his rebellion. And it says in verse 9, they're astonished, which they're in awe. Actually, it's awe. It's like, it's wonder. Like, it's a wonder, all these fish. Like, oh my God, what you did. And so at that point, Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. It's a tremendous word. From now on, you will fish for people. And basically, he's invited to launch all over again. So he just launched out, you know, he went out to sea. Now he's got to launch again. They pull up their boats on shore. They left everything and they followed him. That verse, left everything and followed him, in the Gospel of Luke, that is the phrase of what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who follows Jesus. And we follow him and we leave everything. Now, that phrase, leave everything, is very important, Luke. That, in other words, you leave everything. Now, what does that mean? It means leave everything. And, you know, unless you hate your father, mother, brother, or sister more than me, you cannot be worthy of me. A Christian life is following Jesus. And basically, it's leaving. Now, so right now, Peter launches for the second time in 11 verses. He launches out now. Now he's leaving his job. And he has no idea where he's going. Talk about launching into the unknown deep. He's following Jesus. Imagine that conversation with Mrs. Peter. Oh. And then imagine what's going to happen. How many more times he's going to be launching into the deep the next 3 years with Jesus? And then the book of Acts comes. I mean, if you look at Peter's life, you're like, God, he's in Cornelius' house. He is launching into the deep so many times in ways that he never, ever, ever would have imagined. But in every case, there's a wonder that happens as well. And so, again, here's the theme here. Jesus invites us. It's an invitation to launch out into the deep. It's always happening to us in this room. It's always frightening, but it's always ultimately wonderful. So Jesus is inviting you by name. He sees you today. He sees right where you're sitting. He knows what's going on in your life. And he's coming to you in your life. Now, you may be a crossing guard. You may be a professor at a university. You may be an actor. You may be a social worker, a doctor, a lawyer. You may be unemployed. You may be at the height of your career right now. You may be at the bottom of your career, unemployed. You may be in the midst of great crisis. You may have children. You may not have children. Wherever you are right now, Jesus is coming into your life. Just as he came into Peter's fishing life. And he says to you, I want you to launch out into the deep. Now remember, we all have levels of deception in us that are very profound. And trusting that he is good, the launch out in the deep, for all of us in this room is quite frightening. And there are layers on us and obstacles that keep us. It's called sin, or lack of trust, or rebellion. And that lack of trust causes all kinds of disorder. But it's deeply rooted in us to stay in shallow water and not move. So part of what's happening right here today is there's an invitation from Jesus to you directly to step out by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me try to give you some images of what this looks like, okay? So, for me, before I became a Christian, I remember watching people pray. Like, you know, people would be like this, and they'd be talking to God, and I'd be like, who are they talking to? Like, I wasn't sure I believed in God. I was open to believing in God. I just wasn't sure. But I remember it being so odd to me that people prayed. And then they would talk out loud. It was really strange. But I'll tell you, it was really launching the deep when I actually began to pray. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, like I'm praying. I hope I'm not talking to the air, you know? But it was a whole new experience I kind of launch into, like becoming a person that talks to this invisible God. And then I remember watching people like worship, and a few people raise their hands. And I was like, oh man, Jesus freaks. Fanatical, those people. Not me, I'm a little more intellectual than that. I don't forget, like, after a while, I became a Christian, you know, and first time I kind of went like this, you know. You know, I was a little embarrassed, you know, but it was like launching into the deep, you know, to show that kind of expression, actually, in worship. And I remember I became a Christian. I was involved with InterVarsity and got involved in all these different ethnic groups. I come from an Italian-American, you know, culture, subculture, you know, Brooklyn and all that. And we didn't mingle with people. We mingled with our own people. You know, when I married Irish, it was revolutionary, you know. And so I become a Christian, and now I'm like mingling with African-Americans and Latinos and folks from Asia and different parts of the world. And I just, like, I almost like this was like really launching into the deep. It's like, man. I had no idea the image of God was in every culture. And I mean, I'm still learning. I mean, it's deepening. But I mean, someone's got me reading right now a scholarly paper on Confucianism. Because they say, you really gotta understand Confucianism, understand what's happening in Queens right now, you know? And as you interact with folks from Asia and bring in emotionally spirituality to Asia. And I sometimes say to myself, I say, my parents would be turning over in their grave right now if they knew what was happening. But it's like the deep just gets deeper and continues to unfold. For me, decades in that. You know, parenting, and actually just the transition of New Life Fellowship, 4.5 years ago, we began that transition from me to Rich. That was a launching into the deep. I had many people telling me, don't do it. Don't do it. You'll starve to death. You know, and, you know, it won't work. But I tell you, launching into that deep, which initially was quite frightening, has been so phenomenally wonderful. You know, for all of us in the church, for me, for Rich, everybody, it's been fantastic, and it continues to unfold, you know, and so many new doors have opened up. I'm learning so much about God and myself. I'm on such a major growth curve. Personally, I'm like, this would not be happening to me if I hadn't launched into the deep. So it's been interesting. But even as parents, if you're parents here, I'm finding out it has a lot to do with, you know, even parenting and how we parent our children. Now, I was taught, like many of your, I'm sure your parents taught you, you know, if you have kids or, you know, get a degree and get a profession and make good money, get stable, right? So part of launching into the deep for me, even in parenting, has been to let my children be themselves and not be what I want them to be. Yes, yes, no, no. Here's what happened. So my 18-year-old comes to me, and she says to me at the end of high school, she comes to me during her senior year in high school, and she says, you know, Dad, I don't want to go to college. I'm sick of school. I want to go travel the world. So I'm thinking she's a 17-year-old girl, I'm thinking, you know, really? And so, make a long story short, I say, okay, you know, she says, I'll go to college after that. So she signs up for this program to go to India for 4 months. And she's traveling, you know, she's in this program, she's at Buddhist monasteries and Hindu monasteries, all this stuff, right? So she writes me this email a couple of weeks ago, and here's what she says. I'm settled in Calcutta, and I'm just overflowing with things to talk to you guys about. Mother Teresa's house is pretty indescribable. It's heavy on the heart and can be very intense. I'm learning firsthand that Christ is definitely hidden in the marginalized. Today I mopped under the cots of dying women. I spoon-fed lunch to the blind. I carried very close-to-death patients to the toilet and held them as they went. I brought tea to a woman whose entire face has been burned, and all that's really left is a small gap to eat. Nonetheless, I'm so glad I'm here because I get to finally meet some Christian internationals and work alongside them. It has been a breath of fresh air. Oh, by the way, I don't ever want to leave Calcutta. Love ya. Eva. I was like. Now, did I want to launch into the deep and let her go? No. I wanted her to go to the community college for $22 a credit and live upstairs. And it's so interesting because she writes that I see, you know, I'm learning firsthand that Christ is in the marginalized. And I thought to myself, I have been trying to teach that to that kid for 18 years. And she learns it when I let go and she leaves. And the experience. But everything in me resists change. Let's do it the way my parents did it. Let's do what my culture does. Let's do what United States culture. Let's do what everybody else does. But I want you to hear this. To follow Jesus is to launch out into the deep. Amen. In every area of your life. And as you do, it gets even deeper. It's frightening, but then wonders begin to emerge out of it all. So the question is, and Dr. Mulholland, who spoke here, shared this at the New Life Cardia Leadership Conference, and it's one of it. The guy who spoke last week, he's a world scholar. He's in his 70s now. One of his key questions is this to every follower of Jesus. He says, who is in control of your relationship with God? Are you? In other words, you control it, God. You can speak to me between 7:15 and 8:15 when I'm quiet, or maybe 7:15 to 7:20. You can speak to me maybe before I go to bed if I'm not too tired. And you can talk to me about these three issues, but not the rest of it. And we control it. Well, I'll tell you, if you're controlling it, there's no launching into the deep. And I love the question. So what does it mean for us to launch into the deep? What does it mean for you to launch into the deep? So let me throw out some things. Because see, launching into the deep is about consenting to the presence of God in your life. And it's consenting to the action of God in your life. See, he's present and he's acting. And he's launching into the deep. So basically, this idea of launching into the deep is you're saying yes, you're surrendering. So it might look like this. You're here today, and launching into the deep for you is you're starting to come to New Life Fellowship Church. Someone brought you here, and you're like, what am I doing here? It's Jesus people. And just being here is deep for you because it's talking about things you've never heard before. And you're realizing this is a whole different life. And a part of you wants to run out that door. Absolutely. Being here is launching the deep. Just coming is launching the deep. Or maybe you're here and you know what? And you're realizing you had an understanding of who God is and what it means to be a Christian and what church is all about. And it's right now, it's shattered or it's getting shattered. And a part of you wants to run back. Because this is launching you into deep water. And or maybe you launching the deep for you is you had an idea of who God is, that you could feel his presence, it went a certain way, and now all of a sudden you're in a journey with Christ where God is like, it's like you don't feel him in quite the same way. God is much more unknown, much larger, much more transcendent, much more incomprehensible, and you're like, this is deep. And your prayer life is even like confusing you. It's like, where is this? But you're in the deep. And something wonderful will happen, but you are in the deep. Or maybe for you, launching the deep is stepping out and actually like getting involved. And getting engaged and serving as a small group leader or getting involved in a small group or going to a class or serving in children's church or the health center, but actually like, or you got this urging to do something, to actually step out and not be so afraid of failing or messing up and actually doing it. That's your launching in the deep and not just sitting where you are, but it's deep water. Or maybe it's like two people said in our small group, we have a small group, in our home, and two people said last week as they came into our home, one, as she walked in, she says, I don't want to come to this group. I said, thank you. Welcome. And the second person that we sat down and said, we said, how do you feel about being here tonight? And another person said, I don't want to be here. I said, awesome. We're doing wonderfully so far. Because the topic was on conflict and anger. And they didn't want to deal with it. But I thought it was fabulous. Because they're launching in the deep and they're there. They stayed in the room and that was great. For some coming to a marriage retreat, which we're going to have in December at New Life here in this building, is launching into the deep. Because you say, we're married, you know, everything's fine. Don't rock the boat. Everything's good. And we're saying you need to get discipled in your marriage. You got to open this stuff up. Launch into the deep. Yes, things might get worse before they get better, but they'll be better in the long run. But it's the deep water for you. And the question, do you stay where you are or do you actually go? I mean, let's take, even for example, you have job options. You're saying, oh, I wish I did, you know. But say you do. Do I just take this job that maybe is okay, it's stable and it's secure, but it's no life for me at all? Versus this step over here, it's not quite as stable and secure, but my heart burns when I think about that. My heart comes alive. Well, which way do you go? Well, your father would say, do that one. I go, if I'm your father, I'd say, take it, you know? But, you know, how do you decide that? I say, launching into the deep for some of you is every day you being open and saying, God, what's your will for my life? You have to make a decision. Even offering that decision to God every single day, even for 2 minutes a day, say, Lord, what's your will? I'm going to wait on you. That would be launching in the deep because then you might hear something. And that's frightening. You might get some direction. I think of Rosie Candethal. You know, Rosie, we all know Rosie. Rosie was a lawyer, and then she took a year to be with God. Didn't get paid for a year. She felt led by God and not take money. Then she came on staff for a year, kind of waiting on God. She preached some. Now she's at a monastery. Her poor parents were here first service. You know, I mean, she's in deep at a monastery for a year, and she's kind of discerning what God has for her for the future. But she's just open to, but I'm telling you, friends, that is the normal Christian life. There's this openness to launch into the deep. You know, some of you a number of you are college students here, and some of you are high school students. Some are just young adults. And you've got to make choices. Launch into the deep includes things like getting rid of your false self. Putting on an image for everybody and actually being who you really are. This actually, my wife said, this applies to all of us, Pete. And if you remember, Mulholland's work, his life work has been on the false self, analyzing what is this false self. Do not lie to each other. It's not just don't lie with your words, don't lie with your person. And put up an image that's not who you are. And imagine launching into the deep by letting God dismember you and tear these protections off you. Instead of living by fear, living by protectiveness, living by defensiveness, living by your possessing things and manipulating and self-promoting and distinction-making by putting other people down so you feel good about yourself. Just letting that fall off you. And you as a student to launch with Jesus alone into the deep. It's frightening, isn't it? Will anybody love me? Will anybody accept me? Will I have any friends? Am I going to sink and die? I know, I've thought all those things. But to not be defensive and not be, I mean, to not be defensive, to be vulnerable. Boy, I had someone say to me, to launch into the deep would be to actually will to forgive this person who hurt me. To let God take vengeance on his time, that is launching in the deep, because I want that person to pay. So even just, you know, our vision of the five M's at New Life, who we are as a church, we are basically everyone, monastic, multiracial, emotionally healthy, every one of these is launching into the deep. We're trying to create an environment where you will hear God and launch into the deep. That's what we're seeking to do at New Life. So remember, the invitation to launch into the deep is always happening. It's happening to you right now as we speak. It's always frightening, and it's always, again, in the long run, wonderful. So remember, it's worse to stay where you are. You may think it's safer right now, but eventually the iceberg melts. It doesn't work out so great. But, you know, there are fears that are good fears, that are healthy, that protect us from danger. But a lot of us have fears that we're carrying that narrow our lives and restrict us. They fears that destroy us, and they keep us stuck. We don't want to move. And they cause us to make a lot of bad choices about relationships, about marriages, about families, about money, about job, all kinds of things. With God, we're afraid of what people think, etc. So what are some fears? Let me ask you, what are some fears you're carrying today that are restricting you from the great life God has for you? God has a great life for you. He has wonders for you, but they're in the deep. But what are the fears that are crippling you, or restricting you, and holding you stuck on shore? The Apostle Peter had no idea of what lied ahead for him. You don't either. You have no idea what lies ahead for your life. I can tell you this, it's a great life. Now, God's committed to your wholeness to be transformed to the image of Jesus for the sake of the world. And God says that you are loved. You're swimming in blessing. That's one of Mulholland's great life points, is Ephesians 1:3. You're swimming in blessing. You've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. You may not know it. You may think life's God's angry and hates you. You don't get it. You're swimming in blessing from all eternity. And God says, you can trust me. Launch out into the deep. Do not fear. Do not fear. And the answer, what's going to happen is you will find that as you do and step out, it'll be like, oh my gosh, the wonder. The nets are breaking. I had no idea. I had no idea. Peter had no idea of this amazing life God had for him. You have no idea what God's got for you. If you'll just trust him and hear when he says, put out into the deep, you say, okay. He says, do not fear. You say, okay. You are going to find, friends, it'll be like this. You're going to look like the wonder of astonishment. I had no idea. Now, I'm not talking about a technique. Do A and do B, you'll always get C. No. It's not like that. This is not like you're going to win the lottery and be a multimillionaire. Okay? This is not about that kind of a formula. And I can't tell you what it's going to look like because I don't know. But I do know this. When you launch out into the deep, it transforms you. And it transforms the way you look at life. And it transforms the way you look at God. And thus it transforms everybody around you. You become a gift to the world. But the only way that happens to you is by faith. You say, okay, consistently along the way as he continues to launch you out into the deep in different areas of your life. So one of my great illustrations is Thomas Aquinas, because it's such a different kind of illustration. Aquinas was one of the greatest theologians of his day in the 1200s. Brilliant scholar. He'd written volumes, cases full of books on theology. And so what happened was he, at the end of his life, he had this launching into the deep experience where he saw God. And in the middle of a service, he had this, like, something happened to him in a service where he had such a glimpse of who God is that he He couldn't write any more books. And they begged him to write books. He goes, I can't. Everything I write now is like straw next to what I've seen. And he didn't write the rest of his life. Now, here's what one, his like biographer wrote about him. He says, his tongue was stilled by the superabundance of life that he had glimpsed in God. He was silent, not because he had nothing further to say. He was silent because he caught a glimpse into the inexpressible depths of that mystery of who God is that cannot be reached by any human thought or speech. And I just love it. You see, God's launching not just you personally. I believe the whole New Life Fellowship Church, he's taking us all out into the deep. Our best years, friends, are ahead. I don't know what God's going to unfold for us, but I can just tell you this. I'm glad to be a part of it as God unfolds it. All right, so here it is. Some of you I know are stuck. Okay, you're stuck right now, and you're on shallow water, and he's saying, put out into the deep. And you're like, you're fighting it. No, you're defensive, you're reactive, or maybe you're fleeing it. You're just cutting off from others. Maybe you're frozen. You're like, you can't even move. You're just like, you're stuck. Or maybe you're fusing. You're just fusing with some other people that aren't moving either, and you've compromised your convictions, what you know to be true in your head, but not in your heart. Or maybe you're fixating. That is, you're basically getting into an unhealthy relationship to get distracted, and you're triangling here. Or maybe you're trying to fix things and you're over-functioning here on the shallow water because you're afraid to move out. Or maybe you're just floundering. You're passive. You're giving up. I give up. I'm depressed, you know. Or maybe you're just going into some new addiction. Maybe food, sex, I don't know, you know, money, spending. But some kind of addictive behavior you're just starting to engage in because you want to numb the feeling of confusion and numb the feelings of fear. Jesus is here. He's in this room, and he's speaking to you. And he's inviting you to launch out into the deep place with him. But maybe like Peter, you've been out all night, and you're tired, and you're exhausted, and you've caught nothing. You've been figuring out your life all on your own. You're trying to make it happen, and you're really stuck. So I want you to hear the word of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, if I had my druthers, I wish we could have the next 3 hours and do kind of a small group contemplative retreat around this whole text because it's so rich. But what I want to do is I want to invite the worship team forward. And what I want us to do is I want us to do a little Lectio Divina exercise together around this text for about a minute. We need some silence before the Lord to actually apply this great truth of what is the normal Christian life into our lives today. So let me ask you, ask yourself this question, where am I experiencing God calling me in the midst of my daily life? And where am I experiencing God calling me in the midst of my daily life right now? Where he's inviting you to launch out into the deep. He's nudging you. Now, it normally doesn't come by just a, you know, like a shot from heaven. It comes in little pieces along the way. So here's what I want you to do. This Lectio Divina means a meditation on Scripture. So it says, I want you to put your name in that line there. You know, Pete. Jesus says, put out into the deep. Don't be afraid. Put out into the deep. Don't be afraid. So Marcus, put out into the deep. Don't be afraid. And William, put out into the deep. Don't be afraid. Lisa, put out into the deep. Don't be afraid. And you just want to kind of just, you know, God, a phrase might hit you, don't be afraid, or put out into the deep. You want to just be before God and allow him to just, anything he might want to say to you right now. And we'll take a minute just to be silent before the Lord. And is there a watch there, Pete? No, it's not there. Okay. We'll take a minute and just be before the Lord together. And in fact, William, let me borrow your watch. Do you have a watch on you? No. Who's got a watch for me? Okay, I'll count. This will do. Oh, thank you. There you go. Very nice watch, Ken. Very nice. Okay. So I want to invite you to close your eyes, and we're going to be still before the Lord together. And I want you to hear the words of Jesus to you, and I want you to put your name in there. You know, Joe.
put out into the deep. Don't be afraid. And let those words kind of wash over you. And you may just want to open up your palms up towards heaven, just a posture of saying yes to the presence of Jesus and the action of Jesus in your heart now. So let's begin. Let's all stand together. Amen. Thank you. All right, as we close here, I want to invite the prayer teams to come on forward. And so we got the Lord's table to your right, and I invite you to come and eat and drink of Christ and receive the Lord's Supper if you like. But I want to close really with an invitation as well to, first of all, if you're here today, and you know, the invitation is to launch out into the deep. And there's many levels of that. You may be here, and today is your day to actually launch out into the deep and actually become a Christian, receive Christ. And today is your day like a whole new life. And Christ died, he rose again from you, and you know it all in your head, and you hear it, the invitation now, you know, put out into the deep. And today's your moment. It's really a step of faith to receive Christ. And I want you to come on forward and receive Christ. Become a Christian today. Let it be your whole new day of wonders happening in your life. I also, however, want to really invite those of you who are stuck. And it may be that you are out in the deep, and you are very disoriented, and everything in you wants to get on a speedboat and get back to shore and do something crazy. And you need to come forward for prayer just for God's grace to stay where you are as you wait on him. But I know there's a number of you today, and I've talked to a whole bunch today already. You are at the shore, and you're in shallow water, and he is speaking to you in a certain area of your life, and he's nudging you. And even to be open to where he's got for your life is big. And today is your day to say, yeah, and launch out in the deep. And so I want to invite you to come forward for prayer as well. And the wonderful thing is, he sent the Holy Spirit to give us the power to actually follow through. But we first are the ones that say yes. He does not put a gun to our heads. He's not going to force you in the deep. He's not going to pick you up and throw you out there. Okay, it's an invitation. And there's wonder waiting for you. Because as he was just saying, his love never fails. He loves you. He's got your name on that. But it's yours to say yes. All right, so we're going to close, and the prayer teams will be here. So I invite you to open your hands up towards heaven, and we speak a blessing at the end of every service. I want you to receive a blessing from God as we close our service. And just hands open, just open to the love of God, the power of God for you. Just take a nice deep breath. Just receive right now. Just, Lord, I pray you might fill every one of these men and women in this wonderful sanctuary now. And may God expand your heart. May he expand your soul. May he open up your container and he pour in his love right now. May he so pour into your heart that your fears might dissipate and might well out of you a vision of Jesus and a trust and a faith that comes from beyond you. And may you launch out and put out in a whole new way today into the deep. And may your eyes be open and your heart be warmed as you see the wonders of who he is. And may, for the sake of the name of Jesus, may God do a deep work of transformation in your life that you may be the gift he intends for those around you. So I pray blessing on you as you leave this place in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Thank you.